Morning all. We are up to Perek Aleph, Mishnah Vav of Maseches Shkalim. And what the Mishnah over here wants to know is, you have the following situation that throughout the years, obviously, you know, the coin mint, however exactly they used to work back in the day, however often they produce coins, it evidently was not often enough. And even if it was often enough, you have even nowadays, you see coins or dollar bills or whatever that are used so often that they get worn out. Now, nowadays it doesn't necessarily mean a difference, because if I have a worn out dollar bill, then a dollar bill is still a dollar bill. But back in the day, when the coin was worth its weight, then if it would get worn off, and you know, there are parts that got chipped off or something like that, then it would lose its value a little bit. And in particular, when we're talking about giving a machzor as a shekel, that I specifically am giving a half of a shekel to the Beis HaMikdash, so if it turns out that it's really not the full weight of the half shekel, then I'm actually not giving the full amount. So therefore, there was an institution to say that you have to give a little bit extra, which was called a kalbon. So this kalbon, it's got its name from it's two words, kal, that it's like light, and bone, but literally bane, that's how you spell it. It means that it's a light amount of weight of money that is supposed to be in between to sort of like make up for the difference. So this is what the Mishnah has to say in Mishnah Vav. The Eilu Shechayevin B'Kalbon. These are the people that are obligated to bring the Kalbon. Seemingly, it's basically exactly who we thought it might be. The Vim, the Yisrael, and the Vegir, and Vavah, the Mishuchwarim. Right? It's all the people that we said are totally, fully obligated in bringing the Machzor Shekel. The Vim, Yisraelim, converts, and the slaves who are already freed. Aval lo kohanim benashim v'avadim mukatanim. Right? Not, we'll start with the easier to understand categories. The women, slaves, and the minors, again, those are people below 20, they are not going to be charged this extra kalbon, because since they're not obligated, if they're going to give the machzor the shekel out of the kindness of their heart, so we're not going to charge them an extra tax, that would not be right. Now, kohanim, we said that they are really obligated, but that we don't force them to give. So therefore, when they give, we don't charge them an extra tax. Let's say hashoka aide kohen, aide isha, and aide eved, aide katan. Let's say a person is a nice guy, he wants to give extra, and he wants to give on behalf of a kohen, a woman, a slave, or a minor. So does he have to give an extra kalbon? Since he himself, when he gives on his behalf, he has to give this extra tax. Does he have to give for these people if he's giving for them? So patur, says the Mishnah, no, he's actually exempt from that. V'im shakal al yado v'al yad chabir. But let's say a person gave the smach zashekel for himself and for his friend as a single coin. What happens if you give it as a single coin? So says the Tanakama, chayav b'kalbon echad. You're only chayav to pay. You're only obligated to pay one kalbon, one tax, as if you gave only the machzor shekel. But says Rabbi Meir, shnei kalbonos. No, if you're going to give for yourself and for your friend, again, a regular situation, you're two Yisraelim, let's say, or even a Yisrael and your Levi friend, you give one full payment for both of you. So in that situation, Rabbi Meir says, no, you're going to be chayav in shnei kalbonos. Now, says the Mishnah, Hanosein Sela v'notel shekel. If a person is going to give a Sela, so again, I think we spoke about this, but we'll just make it clear again. Even though we say that a person is obligated to give a half shekel, or what you call a machzis shekel, colloquially, what it was referred to as that a machzis shekel was actually called a shekel, and two half shekels together, right, combined, so that was called a Sela. A little complicated, but you need to know for this part of the Mishnah. So Hanosein Sela v'notel shekel, let's say a person gives, again, one full shekel, which is called a sela, and he then takes back, right? He's only obligated to get half of that, so he takes back a shekel, which again is really technically just the machs of the shekel. So in that situation, how much is this person required to give as a tax? So it says the Mishnah, chayav shnei kalbonos. He's obligated to give two tax amounts, and the reason why is because on the one hand, we have to be concerned that maybe there was an extra, maybe the machs of the shekel that he took back was a little too much, a little bit more than it should have been, and the one that he gave was too little, so therefore he has to give two kalbonos. And then finally, the last Mishnah of the Perek Mishnah, Zion. Hashokel al yadayani. Let's say a person gives a shekel on behalf of a poor person, or he gives it on behalf of his neighbor, or let's say he just gives it on behalf of anyone living in his town or his city. So in that situation, Pater, he is exempt from giving the kalbon, the extra tax. The reason why is because he doesn't owe these people anything. He's just doing it, again, out of the kindness of his heart. So if he's doing something out of the kindness of his heart, we're not going to tax this guy. But let's say, he gave it on their behalf, but knowing that he was just lending it to them. In other words, he expected a full payment back from him, and that was his full intention the whole time. In that situation, chayav, he's obligated to give the kalbon because he's going to get paid that amount back as well. And then finally, the Mishnah concludes with the following situation. Let's say you have two brothers who they inherited an estate from their father. So how much are they required to give a kalbon? So let's see what the Mishnah has to say. Ha'achin hashutafin, you have two brothers who are partners. Shachayev and Bekabon. So in a situation where they are obligated to give a kabon, to give the tax on the machs, the shekel, and that situation is as follows. The mission doesn't say it explicitly, but seemingly what it is that two brothers inherited money, some money from their father, and then they decided to divide up the money. So father passed away week one. By week five, they divided up the money and they were ready to give the machzos hashekel in that situation. So since they each had their own sum of money that they basically just took from the father's sum of money in that situation, they're basically it's basically a regular case where each of them are giving the machzos hashekel. So in that situation, the chayav bekabon, that they are obligated to give the kabon, they are obligated to give this little extra tax, peturim mimaser behima, they are actually exempt from giving miser behema. Why? You say, I thought I always had to give the tax of, you know, of the tithe of the animal. So the situation over here is that these are brothers who inherited money from their father, they split up the amounts of money, and then they became partners. They said, oh, we're going to combine our pool of money. So in that situation, right, we know from the pasuk that a person is only obligated to give a tax from their animal if it's an individual. But if you have a partnership, you're not obligated to. So in that situation, since they divided up the money and then they pooled together again, so they're obligated in the kalbon, they're obligated to give this extra tax for the machzos hashekel, but they are exempt from maiser behema. But when they are obligated to give maiser behema, why would they be obligated to give maiser behema? Well, in that situation, it's because they are partners, because they have not divided up the father's estate yet. So they have one single person's estate over here. So since it's one single person, they're obligated to give maiser behema. But peturim and kabon, but they're exempt from giving the kabon, they're exempt from giving this extra tax. Why? Because it's seemingly like they're basically just doing this act of kindness, like we said before. They're giving on behalf of their father's estate, and if someone's giving on behalf of someone else, and obviously the father's not going to pay them back over here because he's not alive anymore, so in that situation we say you would do not have to give the kabon. Now, to conclude this parak and conclude this concept, so we've been speaking about kabon for the past 6 minutes or so. So what in the world is a kabon? How much is a kabon in reality? So the kamahu kabon, that's what the Mishnah wants to know. How much is a kabon? Ma'a kesef. One perspective is to say it's a ma'a of kesef, a ma'a of silver. How much is that? Anyone know? Good. It's 1/12 of a shekel. That's the Debrei Rabbi Meir. That's what Rabbi Meir has to say. But the Chachamim say half of that. What's half of that? So 1/24 of a shekel. That's how much this extra amount might be. So again, not so much, but you know, I guess it's somewhat substantial. And that's what the Mishnah has to say. So that brings us to the end of Perek Aleph. God willing, tomorrow, God willing, Tuesday, we'll continue with Perek Beis. For now, have a great day.